face. Can you feel them and have a thing of prayer? He's here, lost in his embrace. Wrapped in mercy, he is all you ever need. God is in this place. We are surrounded by
and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen.
They didn't stay there, obviously. And that's part of the lesson that we're going to try to learn this morning from the shepherds. What can we learn? A hero, I think that word itself is just not used very much today. I think it's used in a way that, it's almost like a supernatural person. These were very ordinary people. These were people that we would say were just kind of unimportant, really. Unimportant in this world's scheme of things, but certainly not in God's scheme of things. And I think it's so important to realize that this is really what Christmas means. That God came to this little faraway place, this little forgotten corner of the world, and He announced that birth of this most momentous person who ever came into this world to these very ordinary people, the shepherds out in the field. They're probably men, but there may not, you know. I suppose it could be updated and maybe have a female thrown in there, but I think they were all men out in the field. But certainly we shouldn't think that God only brought this message to male gender. He brought it to all. And to us today. That's why we're here. To think about God becoming a man, God coming into this world, taking upon Him human flesh, and being born as a baby in a manger. Well, what can we learn from those who came to His nativity? I think there's a shepherd over there somewhere, isn't there? I know there's a Mary and Joseph. I see them. And the sheep, obviously. It was a manger. So there were animals and the sheep. And we really appreciate this beautiful display here. Betty has especially worked on it, but some others contributed toward it. We just really appreciate it. It really helps us to visualize what it must have been like, doesn't it? Kind of take our places with these shepherds and the others who came to see this wondrous child that was born in a manger. First of all, what can we learn from the shepherds? Well, we're told that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. That is Bethlehem, wasn't it? Around the area of Bethlehem, they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And that really brings up what I think is the first lesson that we can learn. Their watchfulness. They were watchful, weren't they? Keeping watch over the flock by night. Anybody here stood a watch? Military people, or maybe even at work. Maybe, I don't know whether we use that term in the secular world, but in the military, you know what a watch is. Because we need to be watchful. And we're not talking about this kind of watch. We're just keeping time. We're talking about being watchful. They were watchful. But I think maybe we may overlook the fact that these were shepherds. They were living out in the fields in the area around Bethlehem. And if it was in the winter of the year, I was reading a commentary, and I heard this before, but I think maybe we need to be reminded that perhaps the very sheep that they were raising, they were shepherding, were sheep that were destined for the sacrifice in the temple. And it certainly gives a lot more meaning to it, doesn't it? Because Jesus came, that is, to the birth of Christ, because Jesus came as our Lamb of God. And in that watchfulness, there's a occupation. They had an occupation. Now, all of us have an occupation. It may not be a gainful occupation. Being a homemaker is an occupation. Whatever you do, work. We're talking about work, aren't we? Does not the Bible say that we are to be working with our own hands, that we are to be eating our own bread, that we are to be providing for our own? Well, here were men, I think, who understood that. And I think it's maybe part of the reason why God chose to reveal this most momentous event in history to these lowly shepherds. Lowly, but they weren't really lowly, I suppose, in our society today, in our area. Maybe like the ranchers. We can't say a lowly rancher here. I mean, that was an important part of the economy. And so these were people that were important, even though they weren't necessarily important over in Jerusalem and in some of the other centers of power and wealth. But they understood their need to be watchful. And did not Jesus say that we are to watch and pray? Amen. And the Bible admonishes us to be watchful, to watch what the Word of God says so that we can learn from it and that we can be ready when God calls us. I think that God had uniquely prepared the hearts of these shepherds in their, first of all, their occupation, but also their obligation. Their obligation to be watchful. I think we do have an obligation to be watchful. Jesus commanded us to be watchful. We're not waiting for the first coming, but we are waiting for the second coming, aren't we?
Amen.
And Jesus said that we are to watch and pray. Because in an hour that we think not, the Son of Man comes again. So we have an obligation to be watchful. We certainly have an obligation to be watchful in the matters of morality and living out our Christian life in this world, don't we? Because there are so many predators, there are so many wolves that are ready to pounce upon us. The Bible describes us as sheep. I don't know a lot about sheep, but I've seen some pretty woolly people. but I've also seen some people that are prone to be like sheep. They're very pliable, ready to be led astray. I think it's really a picture of our humanity. So we need to be watchful. We can learn from their occupation, their obligation, but also their observation. They were observant. I don't know how you could not be observant of something as momentous as they saw. But I think, it was the same, perhaps the same sight that could be seen in other places. I don't know that, that it could, but I don't know that it couldn't either. But they were uniquely attuned to the heavens. I think, here in our area, we look up at the sky at night and we see things we didn't see in other places, stars, the moon. We don't see those everywhere. So perhaps they had an edge on others. They were observant. They saw what God was doing, and they wanted to be a part of it. I think uniquely prepared. I think like all of you, you're here this morning because, I think partly because you want to hear the Word of God. And maybe that's the main reason. And I hope that's the main reason why you're here. Because you want to know what God wants to do in your life. You want to listen to the Word of God. And you want to do as it says, I trust.
Amen.
So we can learn from their watchfulness, but we can also learn from their willingness. Watchfulness, but also their willingness. Willfulness. I'm sorry. Willfulness. Well, I want to keep that full in there. Willful can be a bad term, of course, but I'm using it in the good sense of they had a will. They had a will that was put to a good purpose. I think it's what distinguishes us from the animals. We are created in the image of God, the Bible says. Now that's very unique in all of God's creation. We are the only being said to be created in His image. Not even the angels are said to be created in the image of God. But they are creatures. Certainly the other animal creations here in this world, they're not created in the image of God, but we are. Because we have been given, uniquely given, a will. And that will can be either used for good or for bad. We can either turn toward God or we can turn away from Him. We have that choice. And I think these shepherds had that choice. Even though they had seen something wondrous, amazing, awesome, whatever adjective you want to use, how could you stay the same after seeing that? And I want us to notice first about their willfulness. But they were willful in saying. Did you notice that Scripture says that they said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing, which had happened." Now that's so obvious that maybe we shouldn't even dwell upon it. But I think there is a lesson there. That it begins here, doesn't it? With a determination in the heart. And then we speak it. You say, let's go. And you suppose maybe one of those shepherds might have said, let's stay here. We've seen strange things before. I don't think so. I think they all agree that this is something that they should do. I love the song that says, "My heart rejoiced with those who said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. It was a deliberate choice that you made even here this morning. Unless you were a child and somebody brought you. But we came by choice, didn't we? Because we wanted to be a trustworthy blessing. So, saved is the first thing in that wilderness. Seeking. This does not say that they found the child. I don't know how hard that was in a small town like Bethlehem. I'm sure there were other mangers around, I would assume. I think it may have taken maybe a little bit of time to do that. It certainly took an effort. But I love what it tells us in the Gospel of John about two disciples who were not yet disciples of Jesus, but their names were John and Andrew. John, of course, the beloved disciple, Andrew, the brother Peter. And these were men who had been disciples of John the Baptist. And they heard about Jesus. And finally they met Jesus. And they asked Jesus, "Master, where do you live?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And I really think that's what God spoke to the hearts of these shepherds. Come and see. Come and see this one that I sent into the world, born in a manger. This one who is Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Again, it takes a deliberate choice. We can either choose to do as the shepherds did, or we can choose just to stay where we are. But if we do not choose, then a destiny awaits us. The Bible says there is salvation by no other name than the name of Jesus. You can try to come to Him, try to come to God some other way, but the Bible says there's only one way, and that way is through Jesus. So there was willfulness in their saying, there was willfulness in their seeking, but there was also willfulness in their seeing. They came to see this child that was born in a manger. And it says that when the angels had left them, now they had already seen some pretty amazing things. They saw the angels, and the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to people He favors." That's this translation. They may have sang it. We don't know that they didn't sing it. It says here they said it. But certainly they had seen some amazing things. But they had not seen anything yet. I think maybe sometimes we think, "Oh, you know, that's wonderful. That's a beautiful story. That's so amazing. You know, it just really stirs my heart and my imagination." But have we joined the shepherds in making that choice of our will that we are going to go to Jesus, that we are going to accept Him as our King, as our Lord? That's really what they did. They came to the manger. They worshiped Him as the King, as the Messiah, the Lord, Savior. They were told the Savior, who is Messiah or Christ, the Lord, has been born to you in the city of David. And of course, David was the city of the great king, wasn't it? The great king David, and this was the son of David, the Messiah, the King. The Bible says one day every knee will bow to Him, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But don't wait until that day. Don't wait until that day, because it'll be too late for you if you wait. Accept Him as your King now. Do like the shepherds did. Come to Him. Worship Him. Give yourself to Him in allegiance to Him as Him as your King. So we can learn from their watchfulness, their willfulness.
Not willingness.
Watchfulness. Willfulness. And thirdly, their worshipfulness. That may not be a word. I'm sorry if it's not. I think it is. My spell checker didn't catch it, so blame my spell checker. But worshipfulness, you know what worship is. They were worshipful, weren't they? When they saw the child, we're told the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Have you supposed that maybe the shepherds were just glorifying God in their heart, but on the outside they just looked like the same shepherds who came back? I don't think so. I think it was like a... Have you ever shook up a liter bottle of Coke or 7-Up. My brother used to do that. Now, not the liter bottles, they didn't have those back then. They had these little 5-cent Coke bottles. Oh, yeah, they loved it. My brother loved to shake that up, and I'd open it unsuspectingly, and I mean, it was like a geyser that shot out. Well, I think it must have been like that with them. They couldn't contain it. They couldn't contain that joy. They were worshipful. They were worshipful in purpose. And that purpose, of course, was to tell what they had seen. They went back to their friends and relatives and only talked about peace on earth, the brotherhood of man. No, I don't think so. I think they talked about the child. They had seen him. They talked about Jesus. I think that's so important. I think it's a lesson that we dare not overlook. Jesus is the whole reason, isn't he, for the season.
Yeah.
Amen.
And if we talk about anything else or anyone else and leave Jesus out, our hearts are unchanged, aren't they? So they were worshipful in their purpose. They talked about Jesus. Let's major on Jesus. Let's let people know he's the reason for the season. They were worshipful in their praise. The Bible says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The shepherds came from a pretty dark place. I think it was dark, but it was bright too, because not just because of the heavenly lights, but because God had shown into their hearts, had given them the knowledge of the truth, of which is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So they praised him. God inhabits the praise of his people, we're told in the Bible. So praise. If you love someone and you appreciate them, you're going to praise them, aren't you? I know you do that with TJ, Brother Curtis. Appreciate that. And she did, I'm sure.
Amen.
Because when we love someone and we value someone, we're going to praise them. And that's what the shepherds did. They praised. And there was power also in their worship. It says that they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Now I suppose this one I'm maybe inferring a little bit, because really we never hear from the shepherds again. Well, I say we never hear from them, but we hear from them every time we look at the scriptures, don't we? We have it written in the Word of God that they returned glorifying and praising God, and we can hear it today. We can hear that joy. The Messiah has come. God has become man, our Emmanuel, our Savior. And maybe they didn't understand everything about what Jesus had come to do, but they understood that those lambs that they were raising were destined for the temple. This was very near Jerusalem, you may know that. And the likelihood is these sheep may well have been being raised for sacrifice in the temple. And they understood that. They were Jewish. And they understood the need for their sins to be atoned for. And perhaps they knew the scripture that said that God would lay upon him the iniquities of us all. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The one who would fulfill in that Old Testament typology of the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, he would fulfill in dying for our sins. Well, I just want to encourage us to think about what it means to come to Jesus, what it means to place your sins upon him, to realize that he went to the cross so that you would not have to go to the cross, that he took your sins, died for you, and rose again because death could not hold him captive, because he is the resurrection and the life, isn't he? And put your trust in him and magnify him. Tell others about him. Make him the reason for your season.
Amen.
It'll be the greatest Christmas you've ever had.